Looking at the sign, I see three lines. One that says the future trail, and one that says existing trail. What's the difference? The existing trail is in my future, and the future trail exists. It's just a little less traveled. And the third line is the end of this poem.
It's the beautiful day in the gulch. It's a beautiful day in the gulch.
It is the beautiful.
Every day is a beautiful day in the gulch. But it's the, and we're back.
The is the now.
The is now?
A beautiful day in the gulch indicates many days. But the beautiful day in the gulch indicates the present. One, the specific, the one and only now.
That's potent. Yeah, we're really getting into wordplay. Wow, look at this, like, ruinous.
Do you want to go back in
Yeah,
there?
We need, yeah, let's explore the ruins. It's kind of, it looks kind of treacherous. But anyway, I meant to open this up by saying we're back. We're back in your ears. And we're back. You okay?
Yeah.
We're back at the Clear Creek Trail, people.
Kind of going off it right now though.
Yeah,
I wanted to come back here because you had never been here before. Like, we were here a couple weeks ago when we were talking to Alex Wolf from Pedestrian Magazine, and you surprised me. You said, "Oh, I've never been here before," and I was like, "What? This is like a famous trail in Bloomington." So I was like, we got to come back and actually snoop around, because we were doing an interview before. So now we're snooping around. So, like, we're going off the trail here. There's a bunch of limestone. I feel like this, if we climb over this limestone thing, will we be in RCA Park?
In RCA Park?
Yeah.
No, I think RCA Park is, like, a long ways away.
Well, this kind of reminds me of this. Did we ever do an RCA Park episode where we climb on the stones?
No, we didn't go on the stones in RCA Park. When we went to RCA Park, we played pickleball.
Oh.
But maybe we should do a...
Should we go there instead? We're already here.
Right, we're already here.
How's your climbing going?
My climbing?
Yeah.
Well, it's harder than yours because I have one hand.
There you go. I'll take the thing.
Thanks. All right.
All right. Look, we're by these rocks. We're climbing on these big limestone slabs covered in moss and probably poison ivy.
Yeah, this is exactly where some poison ivy would be. But you're immune.
Or what about poison oak? We never did a poison oak test to see.
It's like the same.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, it's like the same plant, or it is the same, if you're immune to one, you're immune to both.
Like, how is it the same? I don't know.
Let's get off of these.
Yeah, let's go back on the trail.
I'm not having a good time on these rocks.
No, it's just proving, it's like, just going to be a fruitless challenge. Like, we'll climb to the top, and then we'll just have to go home anyway.
All right.
So, yeah, it's time to go back. So we started, we immediately became diverted, and we're going to go back.
Oh.
Wow, look at all this barbed wire.
Oh, whoa. See, we might actually be on private property right now, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. What's that?
They're large stacks of rocks? I wouldn't know. Because this is our first time back there.
Yeah, we were just climbing back here for the first time.
Have you heard there are?
What are you looking for? There's quarries like... Yeah, there's like quarries like up over here. Like right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if you go up the street right here. Uh-huh. And you go... You can climb over those rocks right there. And there's a quarry right there.
Oh, nice.
Have you been there before?
I'm not sure which one I've been to. It's been a couple of years.
Oh, the Woolery Mill?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can also go down to like where like Clear or the Limestone Greenway is. There's a quarry right off Limestone Greenway too.
I'm not sure I know that one.
If you go to like the if you just go to the end of this trail and then turn right down the other trail.
Okay, turn right if I'm going back.
Yeah, yeah, there's a quarry down there. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you much, dude. Appreciate it. Oh.
Good luck.
Hey, you want me to take that? Record it for you? There you go.
Oh. Hey.
And we're back.
And we're back.
Yeah, you hold it.
For yeah, I'll hold it. Hey, man. That was funny. That person was talking to us, like, through the woods. Like, we were climbing up on these rocks. We're, like, probably, like, 20 feet away.
Yeah.
And they're, like, talking to us from a bike on the path. Like, I wouldn't... If I saw us, I wouldn't talk to us.
Yeah, well, that indicates a curious soul.
Yeah.
You really wouldn't talk to two guys, like, climbing around on rocks... That, like, I feel like,
I wouldn't instigate a conversation, no.
Really? Even if you were looking for some other rocks to climb on?
Oh, if
like
I...
Like, if you saw yeah. two ordinary guys in street clothes, you'd probably think, like, oh, those guys, like, are on the same page as me.
Yeah, that's true. They were searching for a quarry,
mm-hmm.
and we looked like we were also searching for a quarry. Well, honestly, I don't know what's on the other side of those rocks. I think there
yeah,
probably
you,
is.
I mean, you were getting, like, the mill is on the other side of the road.
Yeah.
And that was a quarry.
Yeah. And then just right up here, there's one.
I have a query about quarries.
You got a quarry?
Yeah. I've got a queer quarry query.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. I gave them the directions to two different quarries, and I doubt they'll go to either one, because I feel like it's kind of like a thing where you gotta just have somebody taking you directly there, or else you just feel like you're trespassing, or like feel like you
yeah.
might get lost or something.
Or you are trespassing anyway.
And also you might get lost. Like, I got lost with Pete and Steve going
yeah.
out to like... The ones from Breaking Away a few years ago. Like,
yeah, but it's
in like 2020, I think.
It's like good to get lost. Right?
Yeah, sometimes. Like,
you get stressed out when you get lost?
I got pretty stressed out on that
yeah.
day because we were like just walking. They had like bulldozed the woods to like fill the quarry, like the fill rooftop.
Yeah.
Like, rooftop is the 75-foot jump.
Can check on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, we were walking through, like, this Lorax woods.
Right.
Like, it was all Loraxed out, and it was kind of,
You
like,
mean it was Loraxed out? You mean it was, like, cut down?
Cut down, bulldozed.
Yeah.
But, like, it was, like, we were still in the woods, but we were walking through, like, all these splinters of logs and things, and I don't know, it was... I almost got impaled because I was running down a hill and this branch I didn't see that was like sticking out jabbed my arm and it ripped through my shirt. And I feel like if it had been over like a few inches, it would have impaled my torso.
Whoa.
So I was freaked out like that. And I was like, we're lost out here. And I almost just hurt myself. Like, but eventually we found it and we jumped in and went swimming and it was really fun. But we were lost for like 2 hours. So now we're coming into the area that we like to say reminds us of Pokemon Snap.
When I first got here, I had to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And I needed to go pee. And luckily I saw a porta potty, but my crazy twisted mind, I thought, I don't want to pee in the porta potty because then I would just be like peeing on a bunch of people's poop.
Yeah.
But this is like a symbol of like, you know, kind of like sanctuary. So what I'll do is I'll pee behind the porta potty.
You went behind it?
I went behind it and I bet no one will
see me. But I think some people saw me.
Who saw you?
Well, you didn't, so I think that's the important part.
I think that porta potty is visible from the road.
Yeah, probably so.
I think
person we just passed saw me come from behind the porta potty.
No way.
It's above my pants.
That woman in the pink shirt that just passed us?
Yeah.
She was looking at you like kind of like this. And then I smiled there and she smiled really big. So I think she didn't know what to think, but I gave her a smile, and
that's
she
good. You defused the situation. But yeah, this is a very Pokemon Snap style landscape. You got the tall grass, you got one kind of tree.
Mm-hmm. Tall grass, and then like we're surrounded by trees in the background.
I feel like if we throw a pester ball, then like a Scyther will come out or something.
What's a pester ball?
It's like this tool in Pokemon Snap that you can throw around to like get the Pokemon to, you know, do stuff.
Oh, it kind of like is like bait.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like the opposite of bait.
It irritates them into moving.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it's like kind of a windy road through like a pasture.
Yeah.
So like it kind of, you could turn around 360 degrees and look at a butterfly. And also these little birdhouses over here.
Yeah.
I don't know what kind of bird lives in there. Some type of sparrow or something.
Well, I don't know either without looking, I guess. Could be anything. It's funny, there are... I know what you're getting at, though. Like, there are certain birdhouses that are built for certain birds. Like, you'll see... Sometimes in the countryside, you'll see those... someone will, like, string up a bunch of gourds or something.
Yeah.
I think those are for purple martins.
Oh. Are they actually purple?
I can't remember. They're either purple or like kind of like an iridescent black or navy or something.
I'm hoping that we could hear like a baby bird in the birdhouse.
I think it's like way too late for baby birds.
I hear a bunch in the trees.
Yeah, those are like adult birds. I think, like, baby birds are usually born in, like, March or April.
Yeah. They could be late ones, though, no? Like, they have enough time to get, like, a few rounds in?
I think goldfinches breed at this time of year sometimes.
I feel like the summer is long enough that a bird could, like, lay eggs and have babies multiple times.
Yeah.
But maybe not.
I mean, they could, but I guess maybe they just don't. I think it's probably exhausting to, like, push out two eggs, and then you have to, like, find twice as many worms every day to choke up.
Sometimes three times.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you have to do that for several weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, 66% of them die anyway because they, like, get eaten by a cat or something.
Yeah.
That happened at our yard. We were, like, watching these cardinals, like, patiently, like, raise their birds. And then as the birds were starting to, like, fledge out, you know, like, they're starting to learn to fly and leave the nest, like, some neighbor cat just, like, snatched them. Like,
oh, whoa.
Janelle saw it happen.
Saw it happen. Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty distressing, I guess.
Dang. Yeah. That would be, like, pretty sad to watch. But also, the circle of life. Well, it's kind of like a domestic kind of...
It's not really the circle of life.
Yeah, it's just kind of like some domestic... Like,
well, it's a circle... It's a circle of life, but I don't think it's the circle of life.
It's a circle.
Yeah.
A circle of life.
If it was like a real bobcat or something, that would be the circle of life, I think.
But it's like this human-created...
Yeah.
Kind of situation.
Exactly. It'd be like if a bird hit your window and you said it was the circle of life.
I do think that maybe is the circle of life.
It's definitely a circle of life.
Or maybe not a circle, maybe it's an abrupt.
Yeah, it's like a semicircle of life.
Bloop, bloop, bloop. When I was a kid, we had this big bay window in my parents' house, and birds would fly into it all summer. Just bonk. And a lot of times they'd just fly away.
Yeah.
It was really rare that one would die.
Yeah.
But it was, sometimes you get one, like just this last summer, my mom sent me this video of like this bird just flying into the window repeatedly, like for the whole day, because it was so confused about what
it got,
it was.
Like brain damage, or did it see a reflection or something?
It was seeing the reflection, and I think it just was so stubborn it wouldn't give up. Mm-hmm. And it was just doing it all day, and I don't know what happened. Maybe it died. It's like, it's kind of heavy. You can't become too obsessed with
your image, your self-image, or you'll die.
Or you can't become too obsessed with, you can't become too obsessed with fighting something that's
right,
like helpless, or like you gotta not be stubborn. You gotta be, and just let the mystery be.
Yeah.
Or else, it could consume you and destroy you.
Yeah, it's hard to fight the mystery.
Sometimes you just gotta let stuff go.
That's a good lesson. Is that the lesson you learned
from
the time?
No, it's just what I learned from telling this story just now.
Yeah, I started to finally listen to that This Jungian Life podcast that you're always talking about.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's crazy, like, for the first, like, minute and a half, I thought it was three, like, AI voices speaking to each other.
The guy has a really deep voice.
Yeah.
Like this.
Yeah, and the girls talk like Siri.
And there's an old lady who talks kind of like this. And then there's this very serious woman who talks kind of like this. And they all have their own kind of, like, personalities.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I know their personalities.
I was listening to this episode about the Hermetic, Hermes.
Yeah, that's a great episode.
Yeah.
What did you think? Or do you want to highlight some of the points of the Hermetic?
They were saying, like, you know, you got your Dionysian, you got your Apollon, you got chaos and order.
Yeah.
But there's a third way. Yeah.
It's like the middle path.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have the Dionysian, which is just partying and just pleasure-seeking, and then you have the Apollonian.
Yeah.
Which is the rigid and good.
Rational, logical.
And then you have Hermes, who's like kind of a little trickster.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes he's good, sometimes he's bad.
He's a little playful. He, like, adapts to different roles as demanded.
He's the messenger.
Yeah.
As well. So he can go, he's like the only god that can go into all the realms.
Yeah, he can talk to the humans, he can go to the underworld, he can go to Olympia or whatever.
Yeah. It's like a social tact.
Yeah.
He's like the god of like social tact and sort of the god of kind of really just super having like swag. Like he's like, I'm good in any hood.
Yeah.
And it can be, maybe it can, that could be seen as manipulative, but, or maybe it could be seen as social tact.
Yeah, I think it's adaptive. I think it's only kind to speak to other people the way they want to be spoken to. And, yeah, I don't know. Like, yeah, I did kind of, like, low-key relate to the archetype, I guess.
Of the Hermetic?
Yeah, but I feel like it kind of pisses me off because I feel like I need to have, like, more of a working knowledge of, like, Greek mythology.
No, you don't. Like, they'll explain it to you.
Yeah.
And then you realize that you kind of already do have that working knowledge, like,
yeah,
because like,
because it's like,
it just lines
it's
up.
It's been the foundation of like so much of our storytelling and like society.
Well, that and also like mythology, like all lines up with each other.
What is like what are these? Are these chicken coops?
Yeah, it's like an orange chicken coop, I think.
And someone farms this area?
Yeah, we're at like, dude, we're at like this area that's normally a petting zoo. And there's even a sign for it. There used to be a sign for it that it had a name. And there's, but I haven't seen the animals in a long time, so, like, honestly.
Animals used to live in that
animals live in
hut.
This hut, and there's like goats, and like there's a duck and a bunch of chickens and sheep. And there's like, that's probably pretty much it. And the chickens would get out. Sometimes you almost hit them with your bike. I don't know. Look, it's all grown up because the goats aren't here to eat all the grass.
Maybe it's good. Maybe if you have animals, you have to move them from pasture to pasture for the health of the pasture and for the health of the animals. Maybe there's a. Maybe they set up a different petting zoo on some other trail.
Man, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. That was kind of what I was most excited to see. Was I wanted to get some, like, maybe goat and duck sounds and stuff.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we have another opportunity to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Goat farm.
And then, like, on the Jungian Life podcast, they start analyzing, like, a listener dream. Have you ever submitted a dream? That seems like something you would try to do.
No, but I love listening to the analysis because it like, helps me to... think about my own life.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting that they identify as Jungian analysis, like not like therapists or like...
Well, I don't think that they're licensed therapists.
Yeah.
But it's basically the same thing.
It seems like you or I could be Jungian analysts if we like started saying we were.
Well, I don't know. Maybe they are licensed therapists and that's just the style of... Maybe that's just the style of... therapy that they do.
Yeah,
or maybe it's just woo-woo.
They've like, kind of alluded like, to it. They kind of like alluded to it, like how they, you know, they'll see someone for like 6 months or something.
We could look them up. We could look up the people and see if they're doctors, but I know their names, but I can't.
One of
them's
like
them.
John Lee, right?
Jonathan Lee. I'm Jonathan Lee. Here, let's see who they. Let's go to the page. Lisa Marciano, Deb Stewart, and Joseph Lee. So, let's see. Eavesdrop on three Jungian analysts as they engage in lively, sometimes irreverent conversations about wide range of topics as they share what it is to see the world through the depth psychological lens provided by Carl Jung. Half of each episode is spent discussing a dream submitted by the listener. Dude, yeah, I'll submit a dream. That would be fun. But yeah, did you get to the point in that episode where the guy was, it was, I feel like one of the women was gone.
Yeah, it so seems like it was just the two, yeah,
and they
a
were like flirting with each other, kind of.
I didn't notice that.
You didn't notice?
I remember one point the guy was like, I have
delicious.
All these. Yeah, I kind of remember that. I
what
remember
was he saying?
He was just like,
I'll say what I'm going to say.
He was just like, I have these friends. They're just kind of mercurial. Like, one day they'll have blue hair. One day they'll have green hair.
Yeah.
They're putting their piercings and tattoos on. I'm like.
And they can't stop doing it because it's so delicious.
Yeah.
But he said delicious a number of times.
Delicious.
What were you saying?
I don't know, but I just found that interesting because I actually feel like I didn't identify with that element of it, like changing your appearance a lot. Like,
I feel like if you, it's kind of like you can like look at like these like kind of archetypes from a ton of different angles.
Yeah,
and like. Some angles will make sense to you, and then some won't be as... It's like astrology, where it's like, you know, some astrological readings will make more sense to you than other ones.
But I think it's like kind of astrology, but it's also different because astrology is like, it's supposed to be super specific to the individual, but archetypes are like... more all-encompassing, and it's something that we can do or not do, or like
something
that we embody or not embody at different times.
Yeah, that's true.
And so like there's some that to me is a little bit more like thrilling than astrology. Or not thrilling, but like,
so he was saying that like it's me.
Whoa.
What
look at this at? Look at this beaten path. Look at this.
Oh, you want to go down trail. That path?
Yeah.
It's leading to the Clear Creek.
Remember your freestyle about the Clear Creek?
The Unclear Creek?
Yeah.
I actually took that from Pete. One time we were biking and we went by that petting zoo and he took a picture of us and he hashtagged it Unclear Creek. I thought it was really funny.
Well, all the best artists steal.
We were taking pictures with goats.
Yeah.
No, yeah, they do. When I was younger, I used to be like really paranoid about stealing, and now I don't care.
It's funny, like, I think you can steal things without being a ripoff. The problem is, like, if you're too referential, then you just seem like, you seem like you're in Ready Player One, or like Lego
What's
Star
that?
Wars or something. Ready Player One's like this book where it's like, what if you were in a world and all of your favorite characters were there?
Oh. I feel like
Or
that's
like
how...
Game Master Anthony, where he's like, it's my 35th birthday party and all the characters from every universe ever come in with birthday supplies. Like,
that's how pop culture has become. It's like Imagination Land in South Park.
Yeah. But that's also like, you know how like I'm embodying the archetype of the student?
Yeah.
So to speak.
Well, by being
English,
a student?
Yeah. Yeah, by being a 30-year-old undergraduate. In my English class, we're reading The Wasteland by T.S. Eliot.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like The Wasteland is like the highbrow Ready Player One. Because it's just like, a lot of it's just like a series of like references.
I don't remember it at all. Like, what is he saying then?
He just like, he just makes a bunch of like literary allusions and stuff. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. He like just references great literature that came before it, and like people were like, whoa!
Yeah.
It's meta.
Yeah.
Like that?
Whoa. That was not meta.
That was a big splash.
That's culture right there. Yeah, and.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to belittle that text.
Yeah.
I haven't really.
I like want to like that
really
text, but I don't think
time.
I do. And they say it's like the greatest poem of the 20th century or something.
Wasteland?
Yeah. And I think that says more about
Eliot?
I think that says more about poetry in the 20th century than it does about T.S. Eliot.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, we're getting like really highfalutin. It's because we're walking. When you walk and you talk, like...
No, man, it's like...
Shit's deep.
You're back in school, and you're listening to this... You're listening to these, like, psychoanalysis podcasts.
Yeah.
And I like it. Let's get trippy. Like, you were saying you don't like the... You didn't relate to with the mercurial...
Yeah.
Like, with the constant change.
Yeah. I actually distrust mercurial people, I think.
I feel like, yeah.
I like when people, like, grow and develop, like, on top of the foundation that, like, they already have. But, like, if someone's always, like, putting on a new hat, especially, like, later into life, I think that there's something unsettled there that they need to work through.
Like, as though they can't find their vibe?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I feel that way. But also, I recognize that, you know, switching it up all the time is fun. It's just
yeah.
fun.
There's that Blade lyric where he's like...
Depends on the person.
I change my style with the seasons. There's no reason or something.
Yeah.
But there is a reason. There should be a reason. It's because you're growing and changing and different roles demand different parts of yourself. But
yeah,
if you're doing it just to be cool, that's a bad look. Or it's not a bad look. I think it's like, I feel like maybe I've been there before or something, and I feel like you're chasing a demon.
Yeah, I don't want to try and be cool.
Yeah, like, you got to stop already, being cool tried to be and cool. Start being awesome.
I tried to be cool for so long that I just, yeah. I don't want to, yeah. Wait, so like Hermes and Mercury are the same god, but they're different?
Mercury's the Roman version of Hermes, yeah.
So how is changing your fashion all the time hermetic? Or
it's mercurial. I think
well,
maybe
it's the same god.
Well, it's not the same god. I think it's a different interpretation of the same god, and it served different. I think maybe it served a different purpose for a different society or something. Like maybe, you know, since I don't really know my like Greco-Roman shit. I'm no classicist, but maybe since like the Roman Empire was more like of an empire, like.
Ooh,
being oh that was good, that was a big rock.
Four skips.
Being like mercurial is more valuable or something, like I don't know. They kept talking about how like, oh, and remember back in the days in chemistry class when we would hold the mercury in our hand.
Well, see, that's what I'm talking about, is like really like the like it's just vamping, like they're like just saying like, oh, this is like this and this is like this, and then we can think about this, and we can use it to analyze.
Yeah.
It's like the same as astrology, or the same as like analyzing like a piece of literature at like a collegiate level or something, or like looking at, it's like John Berger's like ways of seeing.
Yeah.
You know, like where you can look at a piece of art, and you can just take whatever you want from it, and you use like your interpretation of it is like basically right, like to you, however you want to interpret it, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So it's just like a way to analyze your life, and a way to like art, like looking at art is a way to self-reflect. Astrology is a way to self-reflect. Therapy is a way to self-reflect. Journaling or podcasting could be a way to self-reflect. Looking at yourself in the mirror.
Yeah, that's a good way.
This is a way to self-reflect. And, like, I think Jungian analysis, dream analysis, that's interesting. It's, like, a cool way to self-reflect.
Yeah, what do you think the difference is between Jungian dream analysis and Freudian dream analysis is?
I don't know. I feel like I don't really know.
I don't really know either, but I'm just going to say what I think. I think
say
like,
what you think.
I think Freudian is
saying whatever.
I think Freudian is like too too narrow in scope and too concerned with like weird psychosexual Freud stuff.
Yeah.
Where it's not useful. It's like a mirror in the sense where it's just like that's how it is or something, whereas like Jungian analysis, it's like it gives you
it's
a platform
open.
It's open to interpretation, it's more global or universal, I guess, in nature or something, but it also gives you a platform to like grow and expand and like to continue working through your dreams and stuff.
Yeah, I think that's probably true.
I read an article today said people who are going through a divorce and suffering from depression, like the people who had like complex dreams usually recovered from depression, but the people who had simple dreams or no dreams continued to be depressed.
Whoa.
And like I guess some people think that like the purpose of dreaming is as like mood stabilization or something, and like if you're able to like be in a position where you can have complicated dreams, it like helps kind of you wake up in a better mood than when you went to sleep.
That's that's interesting. Like there was a guy they had on that podcast recently that was like he does this thing called dream. I forget what it is, but he basically like asks his dreams for guidance before going to sleep.
Mm.
And then he says his dreams will answer the question. So it's a way that you can just kind of like interface with your subconscious. There's just one little cloud right there.
Yeah.
What does it look like to you?
It looks like a rabbit or a gazelle.
That's what I was thinking. Or yeah. A dog.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like a dog. I see a dachshund, but it looks like an animal that's kind of like...
It looks
not
kind
like,
of like
pouncing. A... What's the opposite of pouncing? Like, I feel like when you're pouncing, you're going forward. I guess frolicking or something.
It looks kind of like the dog in Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah. Or if you look at it from the other way, it kind of looks like a pterodactyl.
Oh. Oh, yeah. So what does that say? So what is that
tell you?
Oh,
it's actually not the only cloud in the sky.
Oh, well. See?
It's all about perspective.
Oh, it's all about... What is the dog... seeing the dog in the sky tell you about your inner life?
Maybe that you're, like, you're prone to see the familiar. Because a dog is, like, a really...
Not a collective inner life. Your own personal inner life.
I think that's what I was answering. I don't know. Maybe I feel loyal. I feel like I'm in a place of loyalty and fealty.
From, like, to be in the dog archetype?
I don't think seeing the dog archetype means you embody the dog archetype. I think dogs are, like, richly symbolic, though.
Yeah. I think if I see a Nightmare Before Christmas dog,
It reminds me that I'm a Disney adult?
No, it reminds me... I was listening to like a 2003 playlist today, so it maybe just means I'm in a nostalgic kind of mindset.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, you know. See, like, you can just say anything, and it's right. That's another thing.
Maybe that's bad, though.
You can lie to yourself.
Yeah. That's why you have to have someone else around.
Yeah.
You can tell yourself.
You ever go down that trail?
No, we should.
What is this? This is like, is this Wapahani? There's these mountain bike trails out here called Wapahani that I've never gone on.
Maybe. I kind of was under the impression that was on the other side of the road. Like,
I've always wondered about these. It looks like just like a gravel trail through the woods. I wonder if it just takes you to somebody's house. And it goes off that way.
Yeah, there's the other guy who's like half a mile ahead of us.
I wonder if he thinks we're following them. What does the guy tell you about your inner life? The symbol of the... The symbol of some guy in the distance walking away from you. Farther down the path. What does that tell you?
I don't know. I feel like maybe...
What does it symbolize to you?
Maybe the Jungian shit's like best reserved for dreams.
No, and you could do it about anything.
Well, you can. I don't want to.
I feel like it gives me a feeling, it brings out my abandonment issues and my FOMO issues. It's a symbol of being left behind and a symbol of other people progressing and being further along in life than me.
Well, what does this symbolize? I think we should like turn around and go our own way so that like we can do our thing.
Oh yeah.
Now we can turn your back on your self-doubt and turn your back on following the crowd and forge our own path, even if it means
not
taking a couple steps backwards. Yeah.
And not going to the new uncharted territory that we haven't seen.
I guess in a way, but I also feel like sometimes you gotta like take the long road.
Yeah. Well, you haven't seen much of this area, and I wanted to bring you out here just to show you, to snoop around the area that you hadn't really been.
Yeah, and we've succeeded in that, I think. Yeah, I guess we could push a little further.
Well, maybe we could go down this one.
Okay.
I feel like it might just lead to somebody's house.
Yeah.
Wapahani. I like saying Wapahani.
Yeah, I wonder why they chose that name. It sounds indigenous.
Yep. Also, these might just be those paths, because they have to go somewhere. They can't just all exist over.
Yeah, maybe this is
the
just the Wapahani Trail, and it's just like some kind of circuit.
Like they can't all just exist over there. They have
but
to go somewhere.
You think if this was like a bike trail, there would be more like bike trails,
like
divots and
in
stuff.
In the dirt.
Yeah.
So now we're like being taken behind like a.
Just like a normal
kind of
suburban
like a
neighborhood.
Subdivision. Yeah, maybe these are just trails from the subdivision to the Clear Creek Trail.
Yeah, like when you're on Zillow and it says easy access to
easy
the Clear Creek Trail.
Clear Creek Trail.
And downtown shopping.
Oh, I wanted to say though, they not to bring up that podcast again. But, like, there was this one episode, I think it was the Hermes episode, where one of the women was gone, and the guy, Joseph Lee, was just totally flirting with
her. Yeah, you...
It's, and they were, like, they were... Or, I don't know, what are you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, you said this exact thing.
Well, I didn't...
A little earlier.
I didn't go into it.
Go ahead and finish. Yeah.
It was, like... They started talking about how, like, on their April Fool's episode, which I have not listened to, they lied, and they said that Carl Jung had an erotic stamp collection.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I like
and
that.
And he's, like, giggling about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he's like, there's something so delicious in
yeah,
a harmless lie.
There's something so delicious. And, like, and he's like, I'm just tickled. I'm still even just tickled. It makes me, it's so... Or he says, it still just makes me giddy, or something like that. And
yeah.
They're, like, giggling together. And
yeah. Yeah.
They're, like, talking about, like, Carl Jung collecting nude pictures of people.
I like that part a lot, because that reminds me of something we would do. Like, just lie.
Yeah.
Or something on the podcast.
And then, like, that's... They think it's really funny when it's probably not that funny. And they still think it's really funny, like, several months later that they told a lie.
Yeah, it's only, like, kind of funny. It's probably, like, I would be shocked if they made an entire hour and a half episode about it.
I gotta go back and listen to it. It's, like, the April 1st one.
Yeah, so, like, right now we're, like, definitely just, like, kind of in some neighborhood. But
yeah,
I actually really like it.
It's like a gravel trail going through, like, all these people's backyard.
Yeah, it's nice.
Pretty nice. I've definitely never been on this trail.
Me neither. See, this is, like, the kind of trail I feel like would be, like, in Franklin, Indiana.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, one trail that the city has, and, like, most of it just goes, like, behind some people's backyards.
Yeah, it reminds me of Goshen. Like, there's a rail trail that goes through my backyard in Goshen. And, it's exactly like this. It's paved in most parts, but in other parts it's like this. It kind of reminds me of the mill race for Goshen Heads. The mill race.
I was reading about how... We got to get up to Goshen soon.
Yeah.
I was reading about how, like, people continually underestimate the population of Bloomington. Like, people think it's probably 100,000. Like, in actuality, it's probably 100,000, but the census say that it's, like, 60,000, and half of that is the students, but that's not accurate.
Huh.
Because, like, I mean, like, there's, like...
Look at all these people.
Yeah, I always forget about the suburban subdivision half of Bloomington.
It's
but that
sprawling,
is, like,
too.
Oh, yeah, it's sprawling.
Well, I don't know if it's sprawling. I don't know if I'd say it's sprawling.
I don't know. It's not sprawling.
I did just say it's
sprawling.
But
I think, like, for every, like... I don't know what I'm getting at.
No, it's just I know what you mean.
This town
kind of thinks they think people that are around the university, they think, oh,
it's just the college.
It's just the college.
Yeah, people who are on their hipster shit think it's just the hipster shit.
And then, but there's this whole other third thing.
Yeah.
Which is regular, normal people.
Yeah. Look, there's even a trailhead and a bulletin board.
What's on the bulletin board for the trailhead? We got longevity fitness for ages 50 plus. And we got, this is Highlands Community Trailhead Bulletin Board. Community social events, garage sales. Look, we got the Davis Academy of Music. I've never heard of that. Walk to End Alzheimer's. That's on Sunday, September 11th.
Well, now what do you think we should do? Should we turn around and go back the way we came? Or should we...
Yeah. Because I'm not exactly sure... I'm not really exactly sure where we are. Are we in
Or maybe we should just keep walking through the neighborhood. I bet, you know where I was about to turn?
Left?
No, when we were turning in and you were don't turn there, turn there.
Oh, yeah, okay. You think that's where we're going to be poked out?
Maybe.
Right onto the street?
Subdivisions like this...
The moon is a thumbnail and it's still light out. Or what? Subdivisions are like this or what?
Subdivisions like this have sidewalks, but you never see people walking on the sidewalks.
Yeah, that's true. Everyone is driving their nice car. Maybe you see a kid riding a tricycle on the...
Yeah.
Or something. That car is going way too fast in the residential area. It's going 40 miles
an hour. That's how you know you're going boomer mode, when you have thoughts like that. I completely concur, though. I feel so highfalutin. I'm saying stuff I concur.
I concur. Highfalutin. How do you spell highfalutin?
No idea.
If you were going to spell falutin, how would you spell it?
F-A-L-L-O-P-I-A-N.
What?
Yep.
Falupin?
Fallopian.
Oh, Fallopian. Fallopian?
We're on Hennessy Street.
I would spell it F-A-L-O-O-T-I-N. But it probably has a G-H. Maybe not a P. P-H. See?
You still feel good about walking, or do you want to go back on the trail?
I think we're going to get lost in suburbia here. Look.
It's the first 18 years of my life. Let's go back.
I feel like all I see is we're in a labyrinth of subdivision here. We're on Hennessy Street and Wiccan Street.
What? Yeah, that's ominous.
Hennessy and Wiccan? Dude, that's kind of cool, honestly. It's like a witch house. That's like a witch house,
Yeah,
witch house
like
corner.
Salem.
Yeah.
Remember a few months ago when everyone was freaking out that Lana Del Rey was dating the guy from Salem?
Yeah. That was... I like that.
I kind of liked it too. I thought they did look good together.
Yeah, I like that.
They looked like they would just live in a neighborhood like this.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's a construction worker and she's a school teacher.
Or a nurse, a school nurse.
I always root for the scruddy guy.
Yeah, you have stakes in that.
The hot, scruddy, famous guy. I always root for the underdog.
Yeah.
But, you know, it doesn't always turn out well. But I kind of, you know, whenever I see something like that, I was like, oh, that's like a hot, musty, kind of musty guy from some type of internet subculture. Oh, cool. Good for you, man. Do your thing. there has to, there was that meme like there needs to be a body positive movement for musty girls like a year ago. You remember that?
No.
It was like a meme that was shared around like a TikTok where there's like there needs to be a body or like a, you know, a movement for musty girls. I always kind of like that one because it's just funny because it's not really a condition or anything. It's just like you don't have good hygiene.
You know, for like a 30-year-old man who doesn't watch the show Euphoria, I feel like I know a lot about the show Euphoria.
I don't know anything about it.
I know that Barbie Ferreira or whatever, she got fired or quit or something. Everyone's mad at Sydney Sweeney. I know too much about Euphoria. People should stop talking about Euphoria.
I've seen... You're talking about it right now.
I know, but I'm not out of my own volition.
Yes, you
I'm
brought
just
it
subject,
up.
I'm just subject to the trends. I'm like a...
I've seen
a reed in the wind.
I've seen the picture everyone's sharing where they cross out their faces and say like what the actors did wrong or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like you could do that with anything.
Well, I think one of the ones that's going around is a joke.
Really, there's only two crossed out, but then there's other
yeah,
things
like,
where they cross out everybody.
One of the girls is like what's his name?
The Trump
Judd
supporter.
Apatow's daughter, and so someone crossed out her face and wrote her dad wrote 40-year-old virgin. That one's a joke.
I've still never seen an episode of it, and I'm not proud of that.
We tried to watch an episode, like me and Janelle, but like it's just kind of like depressing.
Yeah, I kind of like don't want to watch a show that's like about like teenagers overdosing on drugs and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think we actually made a really interesting episode for
you
once.
You think so?
Yeah. Or one of our stupidest ones ever. It's kind of hard to tell.
It's usually like, the stupider the better, I think. I feel like a lot of times when we think we did a good one, we did a bad one. And then when we think we did a bad one, we did a good one.
Yeah.
So we probably did a bad one.
Yeah, probably so. Well, that's for you all to decide and for us to never know.